Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to a new edition of Rhymes Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Duawa Frazier, and today my special guest is Patrick Oliver, program manager and literary consultant who has been dedicated to promoting reading and writing as tools of empowerment. Through a variety of innovative projects, Oliver engages children, youth, and adults in activities such as writing workshops, author talks, book discussions, professional development sessions, and community forums. Patrick Oliver is the creator, executive producer, and host of Literary Nation Talk Radio, a live weekly broadcast on KABF FM 88.3 with past guests such as Marion Wright Edelman, Common, Phil Harper, Dr. Sonia Sanchez, Susan Taylor, and many others. He is the publisher and editor of the Essence Magazine best-selling anthology, Turn the Page and You Don't Stop, sharing successful chapters in our lives with youth. Contributing participant roundtable discussion with featuring leaders of poetry organizations for kids from around the United States in the publication Open the Door, How to Excite Young People About Poetry. Patrick is also the author of a book titled Notes from a Literary Activist. Mr. Oliver was director of sales and marketing for Third World Press, a legendary press based in Chicago, Illinois, founded by Haki Madhubuti. He's been the program director for the Open Book Program, a citywide after-school reading program in Chicago, and spent over 10 years as a material analyst and senior contract administrator in the defense industry. Patrick has organized and facilitated panels and workshops for the Association of Writers and Writing Programs, American Library Association, College Language Association, Ohio State University, Princeton University, the Congressional Black Caucus, Annual Legislative Conference, the Harlem Book Fair, and numerous other conferences and events. Let's pick up with Mr. Patrick Oliver right now. Speaking with Patrick. And I'm just waiting to pick up with my guests momentarily. Patrick Oliver, can you hear me?
Yes, you hear me?
Yes, okay, great. All right, you're on and I'm on and we're on together.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes.
Okay.
I heard the entire introduction. Thank you for the introduction. I heard the entire thing.
Oh, okay.
I guess
wonderful.
You could hear me. Yes. Yes.
You have a wonderful bio, Mr. Oliver. You have done so much for the literary landscape, particularly with Black authors and also literacy for our youth. So I would like to commend you on your work, congratulate you, and say thank you for your commitment and dedication over the course of many, many years of your involvement.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And also really appreciate you giving me this opportunity to share more about the work that I have come here and the work that you've been doing. I want to thank you for what you've been sharing to the community over the years as well.
Thank you. Well, I'm honored to have you. And also want to congratulate you. You have a new book, very excited about it, On My Own, Vision Board Guidebook for Young People, with the foreword by China Robinson. And so this book is out or forthcoming, and I'd love for you to start where you want to start, Patrick, because I know you have a lot to offer for those who are listening in talking mm-hmm. about your book, your background, and anything else you want to share.
Yeah, I'm really excited about On My Own, because as you said, I worked over the years, worked a lot of young people. I mean, that's my work. I come from a family. My mother, we primarily work with young people who had disabilities. You know, so when she came home, she always said to us, she expected the best from us because we didn't have any disabilities. So, you know, I saw her, the work that she did with kids with disabilities. So after my work in corporate America, I decided to go and work in the community and work in community centers where young people were coming for assistance in after-school programs. And these were some great young kids, just in some cases didn't have the kind of tutelage and the kind of adults in their life that would kind of assist them with their development. They were hungry for knowledge. Mm-hmm. They were very hungry, you know. So that's when my work began with young people. Again, after being downsized in corporate America and got a chance to be director of an after-school program, and so that's when my work started to expose young people to literature. Because initially they were kind of turned off to it because of obviously the literature they'd been offered in schools, you know, which was not necessarily culturally relevant. But when I exposed them to the poetry of, you know, like people like Hakeem Adebuti, Tony Medina, and others, and Sonia Sanchez, they got excited, you know. So that was kind of the beginning.
I bet.
But, mm-hmm. So On My Own came out of this years of, you know, after leaving the director of the community program and started working foundation and started working with young people in other communities. You know, you oftentimes have to ask young people, well, what are you going to do? What do you think about doing? And oftentimes the response was, majority of the time, well, I'm not sure yet. You know, I here's what I really like to do, but I'm not sure how to get there, that sort of thing. So I said, you know, after my years of coaching sports early on in my life and, you know, watching my mother coach/teach and me working in corporate America, it kind of gave me an idea of, hey, why don't I try to help young people develop their ideas and what they want to do. Why don't I create some kind of little manual or book? You know, because you know, we would go to these events, we speak to young people, give these motivational speeches, and they want something afterwards. So this is what
That's
I plan
right.
to do. After I speak to them, I'm going to give them a little guidebook so they can take what I said and kind of go through a process where they're actually logging down and taking notes and entering information that's going to, again, a step-by-step approach of how do I get to where I am today and start thinking about where I want to be in the future.
That's beautiful. And, you know, the whole concept of vision board, is that a part of the book in terms of the young people creating vision boards so they can map their way through their goals? Is that a central focus there?
Exactly. You know, when we create these vision boards, you know, they're, and I love vision boards, you know, this whole idea about vision, you know, I mean, I think we all as adults, children, you know, have, you know, vision things we want to do, and thought is powerful, you know, and I want people to start thinking about how they may be young, but positive thinking, you know, thought, what they want to do, they can actually make that manifest, you know, and they have the skills and they have the ingenuity to make that happen. So in working with them and encouraging them to create these vision boards, and as you well know, vision boards, you identify things you want to do. You start putting images on this poster board of what you want to do. You start looking at it and thinking
mm-hmm.
about it. You know, so, again, young people are so creative nowadays. And I saw them do some things just doing these vision board sessions in communities around the country. They've actually have a true grasp of what they want to do. I mean, and they create these beautiful vision boards that are very creative. So, yeah, that's what we're trying to do is get them to think about, here's what I want to do and here's how I'm going to get there. And what I'm doing in the book is really making them also think about their health, you know, their you know, how are they going to nurture themselves to be prepared to work in corporate America. So I'm asking them, what about, you know, do you, what kind of board games that you may play? You know, what kind of fun do you have in terms of exercise? Do you roller skate? Do these kind of things? Because I want them to understand
mm-hmm.
that being successful, it's a total package. You know, it's about your
right.
spiritual health. It's about your mental health. It's about your physical well-being. And it's about, you know, understanding the law. So you won't, at a young age, get caught up in something that all of a sudden you got this record and you can't, you know, you got this felony possibly. And you can't, you know, go for the career you want to go in banking. You know, those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at just a number of things.
That's very positive. And then do you find that with this concept, one, the guidebook, and we find, especially with everything going on in our communities, that more mentorship is needed, not just in the schools, but just with people like yourself who have something special to offer our youth. Do you find that the kids are really hungering for mentorship, hungering for new ways to receive advice, wisdom, guidance for the future, just beyond, you know, their academic life?
No doubt about it. I mean, they're hungry for it because school for a lot of young people, it's become very regimented, almost boring because of the standardized testing and, you know, they're exhausted from it. And when someone comes along who says, hey, here's something I want to show you that's going to assist you in thinking about your career aspirations, your educational aspirations, mm-hmm. your personal aspirations. They listen, particularly when it's something that's practical, that they can mm-hmm. do, you know, like immediately. They embrace mentorship. You know, when you kind of talk to them about just the general language about you can climb any mountain you want to, you can you know, that kind of language, they hear it all the time, but they're kind of turned off by it. When you say, hey, look, I can show you how to develop an app. You know, there's a YouTube a site you can go to that will show you how to do that. You know, you do use apps, don't you? You know, so when you start talking language like that around social media, around technology, you know, around sports, all those sorts of things, their attention. And then they start thinking about, okay, here's a person who knows what I'm trying to get to. I need to listen to him or her. And so they do embrace mentoring, like you mentioned. I mean, when it's something that, again, attracts their attention.
That's so important. And then in terms of the subject matter, on my own, and connecting to vision board, how do you, will you be using your book to facilitate workshops, giving presentations, things of that nature? How do you plan to connect with the youth with your book?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question because that's something I definitely want to do. The title, On My Own, is really a kind of way of challenging young people to step it up a little bit. And, you know, because your mother or your guardian or whoever, the father, has been kind of somewhat, you know, we all grew up that way. You know, somebody cared us for a little while and you know, really pushed us. You know, but now it's so competitive nowadays for young people. The job market is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to, you know, certain colleges and universities is very tough. So I use the title On My Own to really challenge them and say, hey, this is your guidebook. This is your journal. You're going to be documenting these things to assist you, and you have to do it on your own. You know, you have the mentors you need, but in terms of these activities, these exercises, you have to fill those in. You know, once you fill those things in, you'll begin to see this process happening. And this process happening is helping you pretty much look at your personal narrative. You create your own narrative because I have the genealogy section, and young people are talking about, I'm having young people do a genealogy chart so they can see, you know, who they are, you know, what family I come from. Because that mentor you mentioned earlier, he or she could be in their family. They won't be a policeman. They may have a policeman in their family. They'll be a genealogist. They may have a genealogist in their family, you know, a surgeon or whatever. Maybe right there in their family. So this whole on my own concept. Me work with young people, helping them develop their strategies. I want to be right with them in communities, in classrooms, in churches. Last week I was in Las Vegas at a teen pregnancy conference, you know, where young people, you know, kind of charted their vision, you know, how they think Las Vegas would look without the high teen pregnancy rate. They came up with some great concepts and ideas around the vision for Las Vegas. So, you know, they get the concept, you know, and when they're empowered, they respond accordingly.
Yes. And, you know, I, just judging from your track record because you not only work with adults in supporting authors and conducting really fabulous nationally known programs, you've been working with youth programs for many years. Do you find that, hey, a lot of these kids, they're going to want to follow in your footsteps. They want to be writers. They want to be authors. And how might you support that those types of goals in terms of that's more to the creative side of goal setting and plotting out a career?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. When I first started my program, I was so excited about creative writing and getting young people involved in it. And these young people kind of showed up out of nowhere because a lot of young people, as you well know, you've worked with young people, they have poems and little short stories they've written, but they've never shared with anybody because they never found that creative space to go do it. So when I first started this process in Little Rock, Arkansas, these young kids came out of nowhere when they heard about, hey, there's a group meeting, and they're sharing their poems, you know. And we wouldn't necessarily have poetry readings. We were doing just different literary activities. But we'd oftentimes get young people to share some speech or whatever, you know, some prose they've written. And all of a sudden, I had, you know, over 30 young people who showed up who were interested in some form of writing. And it was kind of fascinating because, you know, some wanted to be newscasters, so they all wanted to showcase their skills. And and I was excited because, you know, all of a sudden we had this great group of young creative writers, and then we started hosting, you know, writing workshops with, you know, local nationally recognized poets who came to work with them. Like I said, Tony Medina, Jessica Kara Moore, just a number of writers came to work with these young people and nurtured their creative writing skills. But these kids just kind of saw that as kind of just fun, you know, as a, you know, kind of a sad activity. Their future was, hey, I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be, you know, all these other things that I was excited about their creative writing and poetry because they were winning contests, you know, poetry slams. So I was excited about that.
Right.
But they all had other, you know, they were like, no, I'm going to be a doctor. And I, you know, I'm proud to say that, you know, the kids who came out of my program, that's what they're doing. They're psychologists. They have charter schools. They have, you know, in Africa, one kid went to Harvard, got a full ride to Harvard Law School, went to work in New Orleans as a public defender. Now he has a nonprofit in Arkansas. And one young lady, she wanted to be a mathematician. She did that, but she left that field and decided, hey, she would be a fashion designer. But what this whole creative writing process does, you know, people, give them the confidence that they can write proposals or they can pitch or tell their story to get them access. And that's, you know,
beautiful.
That's what I got out of corporate America, you know, is that, you know, as a contract administrator, is that you can write your way to success, or you can write a business opportunity for yourself. You can write that narrative to get into law school. You can write that narrative to get into grad school. So,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Patrick. I'm happy to hear you mm-hmm. say that. That, see, mm-hmm. writing, in some sense, academic-wise, you know, as I teach English, and even today I hear adults say, you know, English was always my worst subject. It's like we do focus much on, you know, math, science, the business skills, but I still feel, and you tell me what you think about this, that we should focus more wholly on writing because, like you said, hey, grant proposal writing is a hot ticket. Being able to write proposals and kind of write your own plan where people want to hire you and pay you for your services, for creativity, or what else, or whatever you have to offer. So what do you think about, you know, do our schools or nonprofit agencies that serve our youth, should they focus more on the writing, and particularly nonfiction writing where they can, where our youth will know how to write grants and write reports and things like that?
Yeah, no question about it. No question about it. I come from, you know, a big family of seven in housing projects, East Little Rock, Arkansas. I would never thought I would have gotten to where I got in working in corporate America without that meeting early and then just playing around with the writing. And if we look at the 21st century, we're talking about these companies are downsizing. And they're not hiring mm-hmm. employees. They're hiring consultants. So if you can't write a proposal to get this work these major corporations are offering, you're going to be out the game. You know, so we have to teach our young kids how to, like you said, technical write. I mean, they have to learn how to do technical write. They have to. I mean, it is a must. if they're going to be successful in the 21st century. And now we're even seeing the term used to be STEM, but they're adding an A in there to add the arts, you know, on creative writing.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. You have to have that because we talk about, you know, this whole idea of the Renaissance man, the Renaissance woman. You know, you hear that occasionally. A lot of people, if they see that you're someone, and you're one of those people, Patrick, you're like a Renaissance man. You do a lot of different things. You do it well. You connect with people. You network. You're publishing. But you also support authors, and you're an educator. And, you know, those of us who wear all those different hats, they call us a throwback. But now is the time for us to encourage our youth. Okay, you want to play ball. You have talent in that. Well, we'd like you to also, you know, be a mathematician and know science and then, you know, turn around and know how to write well. And this is what our global world is calling for. So I appreciate you mentioning that. And I hope that they do add the A to STEM. What would it be, STEMA?
Well, okay. No, it's STEAM, you know, to add the A right to
STEAM. Oh, STEAM, okay.
STEAM, That's the conversation that's going around now because they're acknowledging you got to have the art in science because we're talking about science. Scientists have to be creative.
That's right.
They have to be creative. So it's like, you know, so and me working in corporate America, working in the aerospace industry, I work with scientists and engineers. They had to write these scopes of work, you know, for these devices we were building, these aircraft we were building.
Right.
So they had to have writing skills as well. So that's the thing our young people need to understand. You cannot skip English class. It's not cool to skip English class. You should go to the one class you should go to. You know, you should go to that class. I tell them all the time, the kids, when I go speak to them, do not skip the English class. Learn it. Because like you mentioned earlier, the proposals, there's a section in proposals where it's a narrative section. You have to tell people what you want. You can't
it's
write.
True.
You're not going to get the proposal.
And another thing, you've got to tell them how you plan to spend the money. And if that doesn't make
exactly.
sense, hey, we're not going to give it to
there
you.
Exactly. There you go.
So that's fantastic. And so, Patrick, would you like to read any excerpt of your book or share, you know, any of your upcoming plans for programs and things of that nature?
Yeah, with the you know in my in the book, I just share some of the table contents so young people can and our audience can kind of get an idea of what's in the book.
Okay.
And I'm just going to read a couple of the chapters, but you know, one like meet my family. If I'm encouraging people to you know again do the genealogy piece. You know, my favorite things. You know, what's your favorite thing to do? You know, because that's important when you're talking about working for a company or whatever. You know, and the food I enjoy, you know, what type of food do you enjoy? Because I'm trying to get some people to understand that consumption of junk food and things like that can impact your vision for yourself if you're not eating right, you know, as diabetic,
right.
All these things that happen to you. You know, so and I'm also asking about, you know, exercise, play, and relaxation. What do? You know, for those things, you know, how do you be still? You know, we should encourage young people to be still, to meditate, do those kind of things. You know, to roller skate.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun. You know. Then also asking, how do you exercise the brain? You play chess, you know, do you read, do you write poetry, that kind of thing. And also get to understand, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, laws and your local government. You know, I don't need to see young people, you know, something happens to them, do something mischievous and also they end up with a felony or some kind of record where, boom, they're in trouble, it impacts the rest of their life. So those are some of the things that, you know, that I have in the guide. But again, I recommend reading this also. But just give young people a list of activities, interactive activities, where they can respond to some of the questions I asked them around the things the chapters I just mentioned. And then also there's
mm-hmm.
a section behind each chapter called Vision Notes, where they, you know, they're responding and take notes from what they've studied. So they can have those notes so they can go back and reflect on them periodically. So I took the book of an 8.5 by 11 document, and it's coil bound, so it'd be easy to use and very friendly.
Great, and I want to, if you haven't thought about it already, Patrick, because I have a real idea for you now to go and have the schools order these books as a companion for the start of the school year, or even if you don't get them right at the start, as a coming back to the new year, a refresher. you know, because the kids are away on break during the holiday, and it could be something new that they start with also in January of the new year. So perhaps that's something you may want, you know, want to consider.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. You said that's a great idea.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank
There's
you.
A proposal notes,
okay?
in there somewhere, Patrick.
Yes, yes, it is. I'm taking notes as we talk.
Exactly. And if I think of anything else, you know, I'll email you too, because I'm an idea person like yourself. So and this sounds like a must read and a must have for our youth, helping them to plan positive thinking for goal setting and something a little different, like you said, from what they normally may get, you know, during the school day and things like that. So, Patrick, we have 2 minutes out in our interview remaining. I just want to make sure we give your website, and how would you like people to be able to contact and follow you?
And go to my website, www.speakloudly.com. It's www.speakloudly.com. All my contact information is on there, you know, info@speakloudly.com if you want to email me for information about the book. Also, email me about workshops and things like that we're planning to do. So I'm excited, you know, about the project. And, again, thank you so much for this opportunity to be on with you, you know, because, you know, as artists, as creative people, we need to connect as much as possible, because I think we are the answer to many of the problems that are in our community. Folks have to call on the artists. You know, we can make this thing happen. We can change, and we're creative like that.
That's so true, Patrick. And also I want to note that Patrick Oliver, author, literary consultant, program manager, he is on Twitter at pmoliver.com, so definitely connect with him there. And, Patrick, I want to thank you again for being here with me on Rhymes, Views, and News Talk Radio. I wish you the very best with your new book, On My Own, and I encourage anyone to pick it up. I'll certainly be reading and look forward to connecting with you and following what you will be doing next.
You will definitely be in touch. And again, thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I was just talking with Patrick Oliver. Once again, you can visit Patrick's website at speakloudly.com. You can visit him on Facebook. He's also on LinkedIn. And follow Patrick and his literary works at pmoliver.com via Twitter. Join me in the next month or so as I do interview other guest artists, and we'll be in touch via my Twitter at RVN Talk Radio. Thank you.